when this church was smaller than it is, when we had 30 people on Sunday morning, we had a special singer every service. We had a special singer on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. We got to get some of you people that got a talent to sing. Oh, here comes one now. We got to have a special singer. Some of y'all get together, make some duos, trios, quartets, whatever you got. We ought to have special singing every time we have a service. I mean, and if work comes down to it, some of y'all that can't sing can go ahead and get together, entertain us that way as well. But we should have some, use your talents for the Lord and prepare and practice and serve God. Amen? Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our health and our ability to be back here tonight and for having a place to meet. Lord, just want to thank you, Lord, for who you are, what you are. Lord, not only what you've done. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, pray that the Holy Spirit will pour himself out upon this meeting tonight. And we ask for that. Speak to our hearts. You know our needs, Lord. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title is The Cooperation, kind of how I separated that, The Cooperation of the Spirit. And when we look at just those three verses there, we can see the church. And remember, I like Acts because it's the early church. And listen, they were doing it a lot better than we get it done today. The early church was at work. And we see the Holy Spirit, the church at work in cooperation with the Holy Spirit of God. This is the place we noticed that Saul's name had been changed to Paul. There's no explanation given for that. Wasn't any announcement about that. It's just there. It's just changed over to Paul now. We see the beginning of the great missionary movement that took place after after Saul was called Paul. He went on a great missionary journeys, and other people did as well, Barnabas and a few others. This was the beginning of that. We see the Holy Spirit making known his will to the church. Now, that's an important thing. The Holy Spirit of God making his will known to the church. See, that's what it's all really about. It's not our will. It's God's will. And then we see the cooperation of the church to his will. The cooperation of the church to the will of the Holy Spirit. That's where it is. Doesn't that always happen? No, it doesn't always happen. The church is not always listening to God, listening to the Holy Spirit of God. And so, we have to cooperate with God in his plan. Too many times, this is what happens with us. And listen, this happens not only in the church as a whole, but us as individuals. We make our plans, we get all our plans, and then we want God to get on board with those plans. That really isn't how it was done in the early church. What happened was they prayed and they said, "God, what will thou have me to do?" That's what Paul said, remember, when he got converted. And God said, "This is what I want you to do." And guess what? He did it. He went where God told him to go and did it. And that's if you study that out, you'll see that's the case. The church cooperated with what God wanted to do, and in the Holy Spirit revealing that, God the Spirit revealing that, what he wanted to do, and the church got on board with that. They really didn't know. Think about it. We've got organization, and we've got all these programs, and we've got plans and different ministries that are set up. And what, y'all would have a heart attack if we didn't sing three songs, take the offering up, and have the special song and then preach. If we did it something different than that, we're so used to that organized. This is how, and it's nothing wrong with doing it that way. I'm just saying, they didn't even, just think about it. This is it. We all get together. God says, "Okay, listen, I want everybody down there at this church building right here, or this building that's not even a church. I want you all down here tonight at 6:30. What are we going to do? We don't know. We're going to wait and see what God says. Say we're like the first church. We didn't have the legacy or the history of the church all the way up to today to know how to You know, how come you do it this way? Because that's the way my church did it when I got saved. You know, that's how come they did it that? Because that's the way their church did it. But, you know, that's what we do. We tweaked a few things. But what if we didn't know? What if we just all got here and say, well, God's going to tell us what to do. What will we do now? Huh? Well, we could watch the football game, I guess, until God broke through and let us know something. Or, you know, watch the UVA basketball game. We could get it. Daryl could get it up on the big screen. We'd sit around and wait. What would we do? Well, I guess a good starting point was we'd get down there and pray, start praying and say, God, what do you want us to do? Now, God very well might say, well, listen, I want y'all to sing some songs. Get in a mood, you know. So he might say that. You know, he said, well, I want you to take up a collection. He might say that. You know, I want you to pray. He would definitely say that. And then I want you to get out the word. You know, he might say this, but we got to make sure we're doing what God wants us to do, not just going along with our program and hoping God's going to kind of bless that or maybe get on board with it if it seems to be going in the direction that he might happen to be going. And so that's what we want to look at. You know, the cooperation of the church to the will of God, and I want to talk about that. So the very first point we see is the activity of the Spirit. Look what it says in verse 2. It says, as they ministered to the Lord. You ever notice that? I got that underlined in my verse. I'm going to study that out and preach on it a little bit stronger. I got something in here about it tonight. It says, as they ministered unto the Lord. It didn't say that they ministered to each other. It didn't say that they ministered to the old folks in the old folks' home. It didn't say that they ministered to any particular like group of people. It says, as they ministered to the Lord. They were doing something for the Lord. Now, some of those things would be doing them for the Lord as well. There'd be verses that would lead us to that, giving a drink, a cup of cold water. You know, to someone that would be, you know, you'd be doing it to the Lord, unto the Lord. But it says that they ministered to the Lord, and it says the Holy Ghost said, the Holy Ghost said. So as they ministered to the Lord, now it says they were in the church in verse 1, and it says they ministered to the Lord. So I got to believe that right then they were, there was some probably preaching going on. I would say that there was some prayer going on. We see that there. There was probably some singing going on. Somebody, maybe some testimonies going on. And as they were doing that, as they gathered together, the Holy Ghost said something. You got that? The Holy Ghost said. And he said, listen, I want you to separate separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called, past tense, called them. There wasn't a discussion about it by the committee of the church, a committee. There was no vote. There was no examination of Barnabas and Saul or Paul to see if they were fit for the ministry. They had no doubt, no uncertainty in their minds that this was the will of God for Barnabas and Paul, what they should have done. The church actually had no voice in the selection of these men. They didn't have a voice in it. The Holy Ghost said, separate these two for the ministry I've already called them to. I'm doing the calling. I want you to separate them, set them apart. We'll talk about that in just a minute. I have called them. Well, how did the Holy Ghost call them? Well, we don't know. It says it's in past tense. We don't know how. We don't know when. We know from 2 Corinthians 12, Paul had an experience. And it was some time years before, maybe even 12 years before that. He said he couldn't talk about that experience. He wasn't, you know, and he couldn't write about what he saw. And it was kind of like last week I was talking about Moses going up and talking to God, and he came back, and you know, and I said, made this comment that he never wrote about what, when he said, Lord, I want to see your glory, and God put him in the cleft of the rock and put his hand on him and let him see this hinder part. Moses never wrote about it. He never wrote about that. We have no idea. Isn't that amazing? Something that fantastic? But he probably couldn't describe it, you know, is what I think. But he saw something very magnificent. And Paul never wrote about this other than to say that it happened. And he said he heard unspeakable words. And then from the date of the Corinthian letter, 2 Corinthians, we can find out that when that happened, it was before, because he says how long ago it was. We know it happened before this present text. Maybe that was the time that God called him to the ministry, separated him. Barnabas, we don't know about him, have anything else to go on about that. But it was the Holy Ghost spoke. God already had a plan. God already had it figured out. It's a miracle, isn't it? Had the names and everything. This is what he wanted to do. And we see that they were called, the church was called into cooperation. Cooperation. Said, separate me or unto me, this church at Antioch, these two men. And so the Holy Ghost called the church into cooperation with himself. That's what he does. I mean, that's what he does us as individuals and collectively as the church. Now, he spoke to the whole assembly. He spoke to that whole assembly as they ministered the Lord. It wasn't just the pastor. It wasn't the prophets. It wasn't the teachers that were there. It was the whole church. He spoke to the whole church. They were aware of it. Separate means give them freedom or give them authority, send them forth, and meet their need, you know, as they go along. That's what the Holy Spirit really wanted the church to do. And so the whole church is called to absolute surrender to the obedience of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're called to do, to be, you know. And now listen, there's a lot of other things that's involved. I mean, man, you know, we're a body, soul, and spirit, and we feed the body a lot, but we don't take care of the spirit and soul as much as we should. Listen, you got to be, you know, because how did they hear an audible voice? I think I wrote something down about it. No, I don't think they did. It was just the leading. You know when you feel God moving, and everybody was and I'll talk about that probably in a later section there, about that. The Holy Ghost spoke. Now, you got to be in tune. You know, you got to be in prayed up. You got to be, you know, you got to have sin taken care of under the blood. You know, you've got to be in an attitude of prayer, thinking, like listening for God. Like, what is God going to say? Did anybody think that tonight before they came? What is God going to say to me tonight? You know, you're thinking about that and you're on your way to church. I can't wait to get there because God is going to say something and I want to hear, what it is. And that the whole church was called to this surrender and obedience to the Holy Spirit. I said this morning about that nation that God called out. You know, God called out the Jews, a separate, a peculiar people. And now they failed miserably, of course. They're still his people, and they're still going to deal with the Jews and the nation. But now his church is in that place of revealing his glory and will and beauty and breadth to the world. Okay, we've got to be in obedience to God. We can't do it on our own. We can't do it in our own strength, our own ideas. And there's so many things that need to just be, we need to just cut them away and get them out of our life. Get rid of those stupid parameters that you have put around your life and think this is all I'm going to do until the day the Lord comes back or the day I die. Get rid of that. Get rid of that idea that you have that God's not going to do anything else with you, that you can't go any farther in your Christian walk, that you can't get any closer to God, that, you know, this is going to be it. We're going to mold along, and I mean mold like moldy. We're going to mold along in our Christian life just like we're at right now, and nothing else is going to happen. Nothing spectacular is going to happen. No, get that out of your mind. Get that out of your life. Get rid of it. Take it down and say, okay, God, how much farther? You know, I read books about Daniel Boone because my name's Daniel Boone. And they asked him about how all his travels. And he said, well, you know, part of it was, I just wanted to see what was over the next mountain or over the next hill. I'd get to that one. And then you guys that like to go hunting, you wander around, you ever do that? You know, you get it, but this looks like a good spot, but there might be a better spot. You know, and so you go up to the next ridge and you look over there. Well, then over there, well, that looks better over there. And you keep going and going and going. And then after a while, you think, boy, if I shot a deer back here, I'd be forever dragging it out, right? But there's that sense of, I want to see what's out there. You know, what's out there. So that's the thing with God. We've got to just strip away a lot of stuff and say, okay, God, push me, take me, carry me, whatever, to the place that, you know, don't get all set down in your ways. And say, God's not going to do nothing. I'm not going to let God do nothing. Be in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit said, I have called these men already. I've called them. Separate me, you know, and set them apart. Get ready. You know, there's something there. So we have to be ready to hear from God. What is God going to do? I know, man, we're in Buckhannon. It's not a big metropolis and all that. But look, these towns that they were in weren't necessarily big towns, a lot of them. Where Jesus was born, smaller than Buckhannon probably. God could do great things from anywhere. I mean, guys, why did God establish a church here? just to have a place to hold dinners or, you know, I mean, God wants to do something. That's our deal there anyway. That's our deal mostly. I mean, we see something in the Bible about it, but that's mostly our deal. So we have to be the whole church called to absolute surrender to and obedience to the Holy Spirit. And the second thing, we see the conditions present in the church. The conditions present in the church. And I think this is important. What's the church? Well, we know the word, the Greek word is ekklesia, means a called out, and that means called out of the world assembly. This is when you get saved, listen, we're different. It's just the way it is. Don't try to blend in with them clowns you work with. Don't try to blend in with them other knuckleheads out there in the world. You're called out of that. You're called out to be part of this. This is us. It's them and us. And this is the us, okay? And I mean, that doesn't mean we don't go out and win the loss and that we operate in the world. But listen, don't try to be part of the world. Don't try to look like them, act like them, talk like them, smell like them, dress like them. Listen, we're different. We're just different. We're a called out assembly. That's a whole lot of things. The Holy Ghost of God didn't speak to the city of Antioch there. He spoke to the church. Not the whole town, just spoke to the church. And we got to get that through our head there, you know, and not to the crowd that was out in the streets, but the church. And I'll tell you another thing. He wasn't speaking to the people that might have been part of that church that was laying out either. They weren't there. They weren't there to hear it. You know, the assembly. See? There wasn't the church, you know, that church at Antioch. They were there, and he said, you know, call them out of that group. There was this the ecclesia, the assembly, those present. And that's another reason that we ought to be fired up about church services. Because listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you're just laying out a church for no reason whatsoever, you're not in a spiritual right place with God. And God can't use you. God can't speak to you other than to get up and get back. That's all he can say. God speaks to the church on spiritual matters. That's why, you know, there's some other things. This is just a little side lesson, but we got this should be present in all churches. And at one time, it wasn't present in ours and all. But there's been churches in the past that had issues with it because they didn't do it. But in their bylaws, see, they, you know, we have a thing stated like if you're not around here for like 6 months straight, you can't vote. You know, and there's a reason for that. If you're not spiritual, I mean, this, and I'm not talking about somebody got sick, wrecked, couldn't come. I'm just talking about people just drifting off. The reason being is because there's been instances where people are out of a church 10, 15, 20 years, and then the church is going to vote on a spiritual matter, and then people show up to vote. Well, how could they vote on a spiritual matter? We're not even part of the assembly. They don't have any idea whatsoever what direction the Holy Spirit of God is leading the church. You can't do that. And so, you know, we just can't. He spoke to those present, the ones that were present. We ought to be fired up about the meeting. I was listening this week to a radio preacher, and man, this just blows my mind even. It just blows my mind about some of the meetings that I've heard about and meetings that people have been in. Prayer meetings that went on to 1, 2, 3, 4 in the morning. Some of them even till daylight. Prayer meetings. They weren't horsing around. And this guy said he was at this meeting, man, and they had prayed, and they were praying and praying. And this shows you this can happen. And I mean, people didn't feel like God was really breaking through into the meeting where people really wanted God to break through. And man, they were praying about it. And he said he felt like, man, it was about all he could do. This guy was a big preacher. Said he got in the car and said he started leaving. He left. And he said he got driving down the road, and he said the Holy Ghost of God spoke to him and said, go back, go back. The man, they got back. He said people was weeping and crying all over the place. Man, he never seen nothing like it. The pastor was in his study. He went in and said, what happened? He said, 5 minutes after you left, 5 minutes after you left, he said, God broke through. God broke through. Now, he got back there, but think of the people that missed it, see, that missed it. You know, last year, man, we had a breakout, man, on Friday night of our revival, right? It don't have to be Friday night. There's no guarantee, well, it's going to be Friday. I'll just wait till Friday. No. You know, God, and it was people that missed that. where God broke out and people were coming down the altar crying, getting saved. Man, I mean, God, you know, God shows up. He's the one that established church. He's the one that called the meeting. Why wouldn't he show up? He showed up. But this guy said, man, he about missed it. And there was an elderly lady, he said, one time he was at a meeting. He said he was talking to this elderly lady, and he told her, he said, look, he said, he could see she was pretty feeble. She was, you know, getting on up there. And he told her, he said, look, well, you know, she'd been faithful coming in the daytime when they had a daytime meeting. He said, listen, maybe you should, you know, go ahead and just stay home and you know, take it easy. You know, we understand and all that. And he said she turned around and said, no, sir. Said she, boy, she snapped her finger, said, no, sir. She said, God might show up. God might do something that night. If God breaks through, I want to be here when it happens. I mean, that's the way, that was the attitude of people that in a way it should be. God might break through. You know, that spirit of expectancy. You know, is it like that every meeting? No, I can't say it's like that every meeting. I mean, there's meetings that are deader than 4 o'clock. I know that. But, you know, I'm not going to take all the blame for it either. Huh? Sometimes it's because we didn't pray about it. Huh? Sometimes maybe we just didn't. I mean, I've been in them on your side of the pew, too. Been in them. I can think about, you know, I remember our church went through a real weird time when I was saved and I was in church, and the church just, it was a weird spirit. And I remember, you know, nobody wants to talk about it, but finally a couple people did say, man, you know, it's just, you couldn't put your finger on what it was. After about 3 weeks, it went away. But I got thinking about back then, were we getting down praying about all that? Not really. Not in a earnest way like I talked about this morning. We weren't really praying about that. And you know, we should. So sometimes it's because we're not expecting God. We just don't expect God to really do something and show up and do something, you know, and we usually think God's going to do something with somebody else. What about us? God could break through in our life and we can get some things right. We need that. And listen, these people didn't have to be begged and browbeat to get them to come to church. It's just what they did. You know, I look, when you go all the way back to Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, man, the early church, Acts chapter 4 particularly, they met every day. Well, where was the guidelines for that? They didn't have the Bible, right? They didn't have the one. There wasn't any. That's just what they wanted to do. They wanted to get together every day. They said, man, it's like when they had a revival meeting every day. And God showed up. God honored that. That's why, listen, in revival meetings, I heard a guy preaching yesterday, and this is true. Listen, we cannot cause a revival. Can't cause it. The only thing, you know, God brings the revival. The only thing you do by having extra meetings and some singing and praying, and we're setting the ground for it, you understand? God has to bring it. So what should we be praying about? You know, God bringing the revival. You know, God bringing it. And that's why sometimes, you know how, if you ever went to Bible camp with us, you go to Bible camp, man, you're there at Bible camp all week. There's no radio, there's no TV. We're here and preaching in the morning, preaching at night and that. And the kids, Wednesday, Thursday or something, you finally start breaking through to them kids. God starts breaking through to them. The ground is right. When you have revival meetings sometimes it is all the way to Friday night. Sometimes revival meetings go longer, but it's because the people want to. Usually revival takes place. People would already die if you told them, look, we're having a 3-week revival starting on Monday. And you know, before God showed up, they wouldn't be ready for that. But you've heard preaching and preaching and preaching. People are praying, and then God shows up. That's what it takes. See, we don't have to wait for a revival. We can have the spirit of revival. We can pray. We can ask God. We got to be where God wants us to be. You know, this all broke out at the church. It didn't happen somewhere else. As everybody scattered all over the place, it happened at the church, and so. And these people were there because they wanted to be, because they loved the Lord, because they wanted to hear what God had to say. They wanted to see something. And the church is what had the gifts that God had given, have been given by the Lord himself. You have to study this in the New Testament, but some of the gifts that God gave the church were pastors, they were teachers, there was prophets, there was apostles, though we don't have them at this time, some other gifts that we don't have at this time. But God gave those gifts to the church, and he still gives gifts to the church. You know, he breaks through, he speaks, he talks, he reveals his will a lot of times to the church. When you think about the activity of the church, you know, we don't read a lot about, You know, you don't see this in the New Testament. I know that they had dinners. We know that from Acts chapter 4. They had fellowship dinner. We know they took up offerings. We know that they collected offerings from that. We don't read about no softball teams, basketball teams. We don't read about no lock-ins. We don't read about no pizza dinners. We don't read about none of that. I'm not saying it's wrong, anything wrong with it. But we don't read about that in the early church. You think, well, how in the world, what do they, you know, what do they do for, what do they do all that time? Well, they got down right down to it, prayed. That's why I like the student prayer advance. Some of y'all went to the student prayer advance. Student prayer advance, they don't do a bunch of games and stuff. They're not playing softball, frisbee tag, and all that stuff right there. You know what they get? They get the same thing we get at the adult prayer advance. You get preaching, more preaching, and if that doesn't work, they give you some more preaching. That's what they do for you. You get out and, you know, you pray. I was listening to Vance Havner, man. I didn't realize this. If you got time or you're multitasking, you got some things, you got a smartphone, just Google up, do the talk to your phone thing, say Vance Havner, there's Vance Havner messages. And you can get them on YouTube or Google them up or whatever. You can listen to them. Listen to him preaching on, man, I'm telling you what. That guy could preach. I listened the other day. I'm telling you, man, his wife had died about 2 years before that. I never heard a guy preach about that and really make you feel it. Like the way he taught. He said, I'm going to tell you something about you. He said, when your spouse dies, he said, it's nothing compared. He said, your parents dying does not compare. He said, it's like losing a limb, and I had a buddy that had lost his leg, and he would say that. I would see him reach down and scratch his artificial leg on the bottom because his real leg felt like it was there. And he talked about reaching over at night for a hand that wasn't there, listening for a voice that wasn't there. I mean, man, this guy's good. So I encourage you, Google him up. Vance Havner, listen to him preach some. He comes on the Christ Life Radio, but you know, you never know what it might take you a while to get to him. But he was preaching about this, and he said this. He was talking about a New Year's Eve service that he went to one time. He said, well, you know how a New Year's Eve service usually goes at the average Baptist church, right? Of course, he said, you got to have food. What did it say up here? It said that they ministered the Lord and fasted. Isn't that opposite of what we do? He said, of course, they had to have food, and then they had to have activities. He said, something to do to kill the time. And about a quarter to midnight, what usually happens, they all break off and say, hey, let's get down and pray, because they figure they can hold out for 15 minutes till midnight gets there. Instead of getting down and praying the whole time, you know, we have games and food and activities. 15 minutes to midnight. Well, maybe we can make it. Let's go down in there and we'll pray in the new year. And that's pretty much but we don't see that here. That word ministered, as they ministered to the Lord there, it means a service of praise is actually what that means. G. Campbell Morgan, one of my favorite guys to read, he said the real thought of it is that of the exercise of the proper functions of organs in your body, like organs in the power of life, the exercise of the organs under dominion of the spirit of man, intellectual, emotional, and volitional. That's what it was like. He described like the organs in your body all working together to give you life. He said, that's what that means, that ministered unto the Lord, the service of the church. The whole church was engaged in this sacred ministry to the Lord. They were into it. You know, they were into it. I mean, they were praying. They were looking. Just think about it. Everybody gets at different places, right? Just think about everybody that prayed before we got here tonight. Everybody was just on their knees, came thinking, man, God is going to talk tonight. He's going to say something to us. Something spectacular is going to happen. And we all got here, and we were all in cooperation with the Holy Spirit of God. We were all in one accord. We were all discerning the will of God, everybody at the same time, everybody in a high spiritual place, not up and down, but in a high spiritual place. Just think what a service like that would be like. And ministering to the Lord is the function of a worshiping church, and you know, and I mean the people, a worshiping people. Worship and work always go together. You can't separate them. That's what happened. You start worshiping God, I'm going to tell you what. You're going to, all the other things fall into place. You're going to love your neighbor as yourself. And that would mean caring for your neighbor, helping people out, serving God to some capacity, soul winning. I mean, witnessing to people that are lost. All those, it all goes together when we worship God. You can't separate them. Man, you can't sit there and say, well, listen, I'm not going any farther with God. I'm not going to witness to anybody because I'm a coward. I'm not. I'm going to keep all my little pet sins. I'm going to do all that, and yet I'm going to worship God. No, it's not going to happen. Listen, I know people that have gotten mad in churches. They've gotten grudges on their back. They got mad at somebody. They're carrying a grudge. They've gone off into a new geographic location and think when they get there, they're going to be able to worship God. It's not happening. Changing geographic locations is not going to happen if your heart doesn't change. You're not going to have that in your heart and worship God. Your relationship with man has to be right in order to worship God. So you and then at the same time, you can't tell God what you're not going to do and worship God. You can't do it. You got to tell God what you're going to, you know, God is here, I'm stripping it all away. What do you want me to do? Oh, no, not that. And then you're going to be in a high spiritual place, or you're going to be in a worshipful state. You can't even worship God. You can't do it. It's got to go together. It's both things have to go together. And so the outcome of worship is readiness to obey. And if you're not ready to obey, then the worship is quenched. It's over with. And then it says, as I said, it said that they fasted. You know, a season of spiritual separation. We think of fasting, and fasting does involve the food as well. A season of spiritual separation from all activity except ministering to the Lord. How about that for a fast? This is the condition that the Holy Spirit can speak. When we get, you know, the other things get out of your life. You know, you got to get them out of your life. Sick. Have you ever got to the place where sometimes just the noise of the world, what's going on, the TV, all the other stuff is just, you're just sick of it. You just want to rake that, you know, you just want the Word of God. You just want God. You want more of God. We got to get to that point right there. And then we're ready for cooperation, you know, with the Spirit. And that condition is when the Holy Spirit can speak. And then the third thing is we see the resulting cooperation. In verse 3, and it starts off, it says, and when. That's key. And when they had fasted. Look, there's two times already. Good night, these people never eat. See, it said, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas, and Saul for the work wherein I've called them. And then it says, and when they fasted and prayed again, and they laid their hands on them, they sent them away. I just think, man, have you ever been so excited? When I was a kid, man, my mom would say, all right, come in, you got to eat. And I was real slim then. I wish weighed 155 pounds, and I'm just missed it by that much now. But back then, see, that food was okay. It tasted fine, but I didn't like crave it now where I stuff myself like a turkey on Thanksgiving and can't eat another bite without loosening your belt and all that. When I was a kid, man, I had something going on outside. Oh, man, and you're just having fun, and oh, man, you want to do something with your belt. And mom's, oh, it's time to eat. And you run in there, boom, just eat as fast as you can. All right, I'm going out the door so you can tell your mom you ate. You didn't sit there. You didn't have a second helping. You didn't probably even finish what you got on your plate, and half your drink's gone. So excited about what you're doing, you didn't even want to eat your food. That was what was going on here, man. They were so excited about what God was doing. The Holy Spirit was moving in the service. And listen, I've read and read and listened to people give testimonies about the Welsh revival and that. And there was times that they said that the Spirit of God was so strong over the meetings that nobody could even say anything. They didn't even get to preach. I mean, nobody had to preach. They got to churches and people just hit the altar. And they said down there at Burlington on the one night after the first revival, they had the one 2 years ago when it went on for 12 weeks or whatever it was, Brother Hobbs was down there preaching, and he said he told them on Friday night they was going to extend the meeting for another week, the first week. They didn't do nothing on Saturday night. They didn't even have a service. Sunday morning, he said they never even preached the Word of God. He said when they got to church, people just hit the altar. Man, they was down there weeping and crying, and people were getting right. Husbands and wives were getting right with each other that hadn't been right with each other. People that had at odds with each other, one another, were getting right with one another right there in the service. They never even preached the Word of God. Never preached. They just got there, and that's what happened. And I've read about meetings like that, and they said the Holy Spirit was so strong that nobody could even. People just wept. People just they didn't even know. Nobody could speak. That's when you get everything else out of your system, that fast, get away from everything else in the world right there. It said that they ministered to the Lord, they fasted and they prayed. Now, like I said, how did the Spirit speak? I don't know that they heard a voice. It doesn't say they did. We can surmise from other occasions that probably somebody stood up and said, this is what I believe God wants us to do. And everybody was in agreement with that. That happens, right? And who and how is not really the important thing. Because, you know, we're not to magnify the instrument. Listen, you know, well, sometimes we get all excited. Oh, man, so-and-so preached, man, and God broke loose and all that. And sometimes you're not careful. You magnify the guy that was preaching when the Spirit broke through. It's not the instrument that we're to magnify. It's God. It's God that we're to magnify. It's the Word. And when we place ourselves at the disposal of the Spirit, He will lead and guide us day by day in the exact same way. In verse 2, notice this, it says, the Holy Ghost said. Think about the awesomeness and the power of that statement. That the Holy Ghost of God, this is God speaking to us. Think about that. What He says. Now, I think God, in a way, is kind of like us in a way, in this respect. You ever talk to somebody that never listens to you? After a while, you don't talk to them no more, do you? See, sometimes God's not talking because we're not listening. Yeah. God doesn't talk to us because we're not listening. They were listening, you know, listening for God. They wanted to hear that. And the fact that God Himself speaks to us, that's an awesome thing, that God is going to speak to us. And it's God. Who in the world in their right mind would think of telling God no? Who would tell God no? This is God Almighty. I mean God. He's saying, this is what I want you to do. But don't we tell Him no all the time, don't we? Quench the Spirit, grieve the Spirit. We've got to be in cooperation with the Spirit. All things are done decently in order. They fasted, they prayed, they laid hands on them, prayed for them, they sent them away. It means that they let them go. The Holy Spirit was actually sending them, but they took responsibility. They met these men's need, and then also another thing they did, I'm sure that whatever capacity in the church that they filled those men's shoes. Somebody stepped up and filled them shoes of those guys right there when they sent them away. Cooperation with the Spirit. There are conditions, last little thing here, just close and I'll be done. There are conditions that have to be present in the church to hear from God. It's just the way it is. I mean, listen, we're not going to come down here and have a hootenanny and hear from God. We're not going to come in here, we're not going to, you know, never pick a Bible up all week long, never spend any time, serious time in prayer all week long, live like the devil, live like the world, you know, all week long. Then come rolling in here on Sunday morning, haven't done a thing but kick the cat and fuss with the spouse, come rolling in here, flop down in your seat, and all of a sudden, our hearts and minds are ready to hear from God. It's not going to happen. Huh? No. The only thing you might hear is God say, get to the altar, you know, and confess and repent. I mean, that's it. There's some conditions that have to be present to hear from God. We see that they assembled. They were called out of the world. Called out of the world. And they ministered to the Lord. In other words, they worshiped Him. And we see that they fasted and they prayed. I had somebody one time, they got all mad, you know. Oh, you know, it's not commanded in the Bible to fast. It's not unless I hear an audible voice from God, I'm not going to fast. I'd tell you about their life after that as the years went by, but I don't want to, you know, condemn the guilty, so to speak. I can show you in the Bible where things can't get done. There's things in that you can't do without fasting and praying. Remember them disciples come down off the mountain? They said, Lord, how come we couldn't cast this man had a demon-possessed boy and he fell in the fire and foamed at the mouth? And Jesus come down there and He cast him out, and the disciples later said, Lord, how come we couldn't cast him out? He said, this kind cometh not forth but by prayer and fasting. He didn't say just prayer. He didn't say just fasting. He said, but by prayer and fasting, this is how it's going to happen. That's the only way it's going to happen. There's some conditions that have to be. So I can show you just with fasting, like I say, there's place. I mean, he expected it. He said, when you pray, when you fast. Right? But there's some things, some conditions. They assemble, they minister to the Lord, they worship, they fast, they pray. I mean, that's what we're going to have to, that's, you know, and they had a desire for that. And I think the biggest problem in the churches today is we don't have the desire, and I figured it all out. God already had it in his word, but I finally saw it. My mind got unfuzzy enough to see. The only way you can create a desire in somebody's heart is to magnify God. You've got to magnify God to the point where somebody wants it. And see, so I see that problem in the church, not just this church, but the church in general, that people don't have a desire for anymore. And I think it's because we're failing to magnify God. You know, create that, have a desire, want that. Strip away all those things that we got in our life that we think is not going to change or there's no possibility. And then God will start showing up at the services and we see God get some things done. Amen.